Hi, we're Ed and Lisa Young, and welcome to the Creative Marriage Podcast, where we talk about the art of keeping your love alive. Because marriage is, as we like to say, Lisa, it's not always the easiest thing, but it can become the greatest thing when you're willing to work.
Work on our creativity. And creativity brings an element to marriage that just keeps things fresh, keeps things alive, vibrant, all of those things. But today's episode, we're going to kind of take a step back and talk about what happens when there might be some issues in your relationship that's putting a blockade against creativity.
Maybe some of the things that we bring into marriage. Every couple brings in baggage, right?
And Ed and I have been married for 41-ish years, I think, 41 years, 1982, something like that. So, I mean, we've obviously been successful in our relationship, but one of the most difficult things that we've dealt with is problem solving, understanding the differences between how he was raised, I was raised. And before we got married, we did not do any type of counseling or anything to prepare ourselves for that.
I told you we should have, but
no, you did not. But
I'm kidding.
Anyway, so a lot of times we are somewhat naive and blinded by love, if you will, to some of the things that maybe can play into problems later on down the road.
That's right. You know, people have asked a lot too about this wedding ring. I get questions a lot. What's it made of? Why do you wear the orange? Well, this is a glow in the dark wedding ring. And I have designed, because of this, our own glow in the dark wedding rings. So I'm going to have those available because we all need to have a glow in the dark marriage that shines in the midst of darkness. So I just saw that and thought about that.
I like that.
But we have some incredible people today. I'm talking about as good as they get, Brad and Melissa Stovall. Brad, Melissa, it's great to have you guys here on the Creative Marriage Podcast.
Glad to be here.
You guys look great, as always.
Thank you.
And
I think you're going to see with Brad and Melissa, just a wonderful couple, a wonderful marriage, but a marriage that has flowed through or faced, if you will, some challenges. So maybe we could just get a little bit of background.
Yeah.
Is that good?
What? Yeah. Tell us about your background.
Let's start with Melissa. Ladies first.
A little bit about my background. So didn't grow up in church. Grew up youngest of five kids. Had a very tough childhood growing up. Had a dad who was addicted to pretty much everything. There was a lot of violence, a lot of turmoil in that. So growing up in that, being the youngest, you're just kind of in survival mode.
So he was like in addiction and he was violent as well.
Yes. Wow. Very much so. So didn't have any kind of church foundation growing up. Mm-hmm. He was an atheist. He believed that, you know, we needed to be adults in order to make that decision. So we weren't allowed to go and visit other churches or when we got invited. So had no idea. Like, just you're going through life blind.
So what about your siblings? I mean, if you were the baby, did you take your cues from how they responded to the environment, or was that even a factor?
Yes, I think so. I think when he was home, because he had a job that he traveled, he'd be gone for weeks at a time and he'd come home. And when he'd be home, we were all on, you know, pins and needles, and we were just waiting for the bottom to fall out. Like, nobody say anything because you don't want to get them riled up. But, you know, from morning to night, he was just active drinking.
And constant. So when he was on the road traveling, that was kind of like a
reprieve.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
sure.
Wow. For sure. So Melissa, so you'd have to live in constant fear in a way.
Yeah. It's and you don't know any better when you're a kid because it's just what you know. But once you get older and away from it, and you kind of start to see how other families and friends are kind of living their lives, you start to recognize that something was different about our house.
And how about your mom?
My mom grew up in a very, her mother was a single mom, but also had addiction issues. And so she was in turmoil and in, around a lot of anger and violence. So
your dad's behavior was almost like a natural environment for her?
Felt probably very normal, very comfortable for her. Wow. So,
And so let's fast forward a bit. When you when did you kind of discover your independence? I mean, like 18 years old and you're...
I couldn't wait to get out of our house. So it was, you know, my mom and my dad had separated and then she remarried another gentleman, but he also drank, but he wasn't abusive.
Uh-huh.
But it was a complicated situation. It wasn't, you know, wasn't a thriving environment. There was something in my spirit. I just knew there was something better out there. Mm-hmm. I started going to a Catholic church at that point, went through all the sacraments and all that, but still had a lot of yearning for God at that point in my life. Mm-hmm. So, was still searching. I've actively felt like I was searching for something that just, mm-hmm. I couldn't quite grasp at that mm-hmm. point. So.
And how did you come into a relationship with Christ?
I moved away, moved up here to the Dallas-Fort Worth area and started, you know, trying to navigate life and getting into trouble and making terrible decisions with relationships and just trying to find that, mm-hmm. that love. And somebody invited us to church here. And so we came one time. I was dating a guy at that point. And he,
JP.
No. No.
No. It's not your turn.
It's not your turn.
Really?
Yeah. No,
JP.
Yeah, I came with a boyfriend at the time. And, you know, I really thought I was going to marry this guy. Like, we were done. I didn't need to be here. Like,
you figured it out.
Yeah, I figured it out. Okay. We were good. And that took a twist. And so I ended up coming back by myself and just said, you know what? And surrendered at that point. And you were talking about forgiveness and about forgiveness being not for the offender, but right. the offended. And so that really struck.
So that was a series mm-hmm. where you first came to.
You spoke, I don't remember which series it was, but that was.
I remember it was called the real F word, mm-hmm. forgiveness. Yeah.
And so that one was one that really hit home
okay.
and just really started me thinking about, you know, where I was in life. And I remember you saying, you know, what else do you have to lose? Because you've tried everything your own way. And I had done that. So I was at my bottom. So got plugged in. Quickly started meeting people here and realizing that, mm-hmm. wow, there's a totally different way to live life than I had been doing. So,
Melissa, that was like your time where you became, you know, a follower of Christ during
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Met Jesus here.
Wow. Okay, Brad, tell us a little bit about, it's your turn now. Permission.
Brad, yes.
I think, you know, for me, I would say I was the typical Christer. My family, you know, we would do Christmas and Easter very regularly.
I love that phrase, Brad, Creaster.
I do too.
Christmas and Easter only. I didn't make it up.
But that's, and my parents were really good actors with regards to the way the outside viewed us. My mom had a very strong, you know, idea of what we needed to present. So outside, most people saw a very healthy, you know, vibrant family, but my parents were very volatile. They had a lot of, you know, emotion in their arguments. And so for me, it was kind of unique because I had my grandmother who was always at church. She'd go to church all the time. And so she was my reprieve. I would always spend most of my time up in her house. And that's where, you know, I would learn a lot more about just reality. But, you know, I come from a very dysfunctional family as well. Most of my grandparents and all of them, you know, aunts and uncles are all alcoholics or addicts. And so it was just unique growing up in both sides. I had, you know, one side where we would go and we would act like we were, you know, living the life for the Lord. And then the other side, you know, the back porch, we were doing whatever we wanted to do. So.
And how did you come into a relationship with Christ?
So there was a church that had recently started in Rockwall, it was Lake Point, mm-hmm. Pastor Steve Stroop. And he brought a great message. It was the wide and the narrow. It was the Matthew. Mm-hmm. And it just made sense that there was supposed to be a different way in mm-hmm. this way that I was going. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, I'm not – a lot of the things I may say today, I may sound like I'm proud of, but I'm not. It's just, you know, what I call my character defects. I speak about them a little unique, but it's not in any way, shape, or form that I take any pride in. I'm constantly and consistently yeah. working on them. But I've been an anarchist my whole life. I've always – and I think we all do as people, and I know this is a little – hokey pokey, but I believe there's a duality to us. And I believe that, you know, I've always found that there's this side of me that is the Lord speaks very clear to that, hey, don't do this. But unfortunately, I've most of my life, not, you know, the last several years, but I lean away from it. I will do my own way. And I've constantly come into contact with problems from that and realize, you know, the Lord's way works. But I knew the Lord very early on. At 7 years old, I prayed the prayer. I actually, you know, my dad wasn't sure. So he took me to meet with the pastor and I met. We walked through it all. So I've always yearned for the Bible. I read the Bible regularly. You know, it's just something that I know there's this way that works, mm-hmm. but there's this inside of me that just always just, but you know,
struggle.
It's a struggle.
And Brad, you told me before in different settings how early you kind of realized you had that leaning toward addiction.
Sure. I mean, you know, crazy stories, you know, I probably had my first experience with alcohol somewhere around 5 or 7, somewhere in there. It was given to me from, you know, my parents more as a teaching lesson. And unfortunately, they learned real quick that I was different. You know, I drank more than they expected. And then somewhere, I would say second, third grade, I became, you know, Friday and Saturday. And then I would say 14, it was full on.
Wow.
I mean, I was drinking every day.
So for those of you who are listening, you can tell that all of us come with unique backgrounds, how we were raised, how we were brought up. Mm-hmm. Some are privileged to come from very, you know, I don't know, safe environments, a place where you grew just in natural maturation process, and it was good. But a lot of times marriages are formed with two people. They're always formed by two self-centered sinners, but formed by people who come together with unique circumstances mm-hmm. that are really tough to deal with. And so did you guys, when you met, in our next episode, we'll talk a little bit more about how you guys met, but did you do any type of assessments of one another, like counseling or anything that could prepare you for down the road?
We did not. I mean, the only counselor, you know, that session we had was with the gentleman that did the marriage, and he just said, you know, put God in the front and just walk towards God and okay. She'll walk towards God. And,
yeah. Which well, is true.
It is true.
And that is very true.
But we didn't do any type
but
of
But if you don't car. Know, it's like, you know, you buy a car and it's got luggage in the back and you don't know what's in it. Mm-hmm. And you just discover that later on down the way. You're taken by the shininess of a new car or whatever, and you don't realize all the baggage that might be there. And baggage is not a bad thing. It's just if it's left dealt with.
Yeah. You know, and just think about all the people, though, who are going to connect with this because they're like, whoa, we are kind of a mismatch. And in reality, we're all a mismatch because we are messed up. We're as I like to say, drowning in depravity. But Jesus rescued us and saved us. And because of that, even though we are, you know, mismatched, we can have this match and we can strike the match and have a hot marriage.
Yeah.
If we're really willing to work. So I think, Brad and Melissa, more couples probably have what you're saying in common than those who don't. I think you're not an anomaly. Correct. I think what you're talking about is real and where a lot of people are.
And just to give you hope and help and understanding, if you're identifying with Melissa and Brad, and perhaps you're thinking, wow, our marriage is right now in the throes of dealing with one of the partners being an addict, or there's a lot of different things that could create turmoil in a marriage. But if that's you, just know that there's hope. Brad and Melissa's story is going to continue in our next episode. And we want you to see how God has taken them from two different backgrounds that are very similar in some ways and allowed them, because of their hard work, it's really hard work, mm-hmm. to have a thriving relationship. Don't want to miss it.
No. And also, too, we appreciate you listening, and I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. But also, too, make sure to give us a great review. Like,
everybody wants a good review.
Yeah, five stars.
You and I have been checking out some new restaurants, trying to be different in our dates.
Yes.
And we've been looking at, actually, we were going to go on a breakfast date, mm-hmm. and we were looking at the stars to see how they were rated.
Yeah.
And we made our decision based on the rating. So definitely give us a 5-star rating if you so choose. And just join us next time because it's going to be great. We'll see you next time on the Creative Marriage Podcast.